My name is Neela Sarkis. I am 15 years old. Today is October 27th, 2018, and I'm speaking with John French, who is my grandpa, and we are recording in Columbus, Ohio. Okay, so my first question I want to ask is, how and when were you drafted?
I was drafted. I got my draft notice in November of 1968, and I reported to the induction station in Cleveland in March of 69, and I thought I was just getting a physical and then coming back home. I went by train from Youngstown to Cleveland, but the next thing I know, I was on a flight from Cleveland to Fort Dix, New Jersey, where I took my basic training.
Okay.
And I got drafted because I had dropped out of college at Youngstown, well, it was Youngstown University back then, and to take another job. And it changed my status, my draft status, from student to eligible, 1A. So that's how I got drafted.
Okay. So my next question is, what was basic training like?
Actually, basic training compared to the other training that I got was relatively easy. There they teach you the basic things, how to march, how to hold a weapon, how to shoot a weapon. They give you a little discipline on how to be able to live on your own. Because most boys, young men at that age, are used to living at home and having people do things for them. They kind of, you know, get you out of the mode of, living with somebody else and being independent. They want you to be independent.
They also
get you in the mode of giving you a military bearing on your life rather than civilian life.
How was the other training like then?
Well, depending on the training, I went to infantry training, which was almost like basic training, except for you get proficient in shooting weapons, being able to use other weaponry, teach you how to drive military vehicles. I went through infantry, and then after that, I went to Ranger School at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And there, the training is intense. You know, They want you to hone in your skills, all your senses, and so that it was, they give you a taste of what it'd be like if you got captured. You know, what's in store for you, you know, and they hone your skills as a military person. Then I went to jump school, which was really fun. That was, other than the first one, where the reality is I'm leaving the confines of this airplane. You know, it was fun. It was fun. I actually enjoyed it there at jump school.
Okay. So my next question is, what specific battles were you involved in, and what years were you there?
I was in Vietnam from August of 1969 until almost to the end of October in 1970. And there were many battles that I went through, but the one that stands out in my mind was the invasion of Cambodia in 1970, only because I did a lot of the reconnaissance for it, not me specifically by myself, but with other guys in my unit. We would go and lay on trails and monitor troop movements, so we knew exactly where they were at. And then in May, we led a big push along with the infantry. I was with the 11th Armored Cavalry, and during the invasion, we pushed the enemy out of the area along the Ho Chi Minh Trail around the Fish Hook area in Cambodia and Vietnam border. That's where I got wounded. We were done on our push in there for a day, and come nighttime we got into a defensive circle, and just when we were cleaning up and eating and stuff like that, they dropped mortars on us. One of the mortars landed really close to me in the back, and it kind of blew me up in the air a little bit, maybe 5 feet in the air. And I came down and landed on my feet and was running. And I didn't even know I'd been hit, but I got a wound on the back of my leg, and I had small pieces of shrapnel in my thighs and around the belly area. And I thought I was gonna go home after that, because the wound on the back of my leg was pretty big. But I went to, they stitched me up there, and we continued on, and then I kind of got an infection, and they sent me to Hawaii for a couple of weeks to get rid of the infection. Well, in the meantime, one of the non-commissioned officers in our platoon, he got killed. So they had told me that I had to go back, and they put me in charge in the base camp as the NCO in charge. So I extended my stay there until, I was supposed to go home in August of 70, but I stayed there for a couple extra months so I could get out of the Army early. They had an early release program. Well, that was that.
Is there someone you served with that you can remember fondly?
Did I remember what?
Is there someone that you served with that you remember fondly, like a friend or?
Yeah, there's several. There were guys on my crew that I'd like to see again. That's been over 50 years ago, and I haven't seen any one of them. But there's a few guys. There's one other sergeant that I served with. We kind of stuck together and watched each other's back. His name was Jim Cornwell. He lived in Battle Creek, Michigan. So he was probably the closest I was to. And then there was another guy that he was in my platoon, and we talked about all kinds of stuff, over the year. His name was John Booth. He was from Rifle, Colorado. Well, the two closest.
And my last question is, how did you integrate back into society after the war?
Now, you know how today when they tell, you meet up with somebody that's been in the military and you say, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
My time, that didn't happen.
Yeah,
when we came
I heard
home,
about that.
We were vilified as baby killers, heartless people. I remember when we landed in, I left the Army from Fort Ord, California, the Oakland Army base. And they bussed us when we left to San Francisco Airport so I could fly home. We're walking through the airport, and there was these two young girls that were dressed up in robes and stuff at the time, the hippie type. And they go, oh, look at the baby killers, and that really made us feel bad. And then when we eventually got home, people didn't pat you on the back and say thank you and all that. The only ones that did that were your immediate family, but nobody else, you know, cared that, you know, we defended our country, you know, at that time. It was a different era. The discourse from the Vietnam War kind of divided our country, I think, and which actually continues today. Well, that's my story.
Is there anything else that you want to say?
No, I just think that military service is an honorable thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody should ever regret serving their country. Unfortunately, during the Vietnam War, maybe the people that were anti-war, you know, perceived it in a different way. And of course, there was always the 58,000 guys that came back in body bags, you know, that made it not right. But it was to prevent the spread of communism, which I think was a right thing to do. But today, you know, if you're a member of the military, you know, you're saluted, you know, and you're thanked for your service. Well, we didn't get that back in our time. So there's a different culture, but I also think that the country is more divided than it ever was now.
Okay. Well, thank you for doing this interview with me.